reading to you from the 11th chapter of John, and with the 25th verse. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Mole. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, we're starting to get hot weather back here in Colorado, up to 93 now. Boy, is things green around here. We had more rain this year than I think we've ever had since the beginning of time. Well, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour. I hope you'll kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us. You say, "Cecil, I've got a troubled heart tonight." Well, bless your heart. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." So maybe something to be said tonight will encourage your heart and let you relax in the Lord. Okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and the 38th verse. That's the 12th chapter of Matthew, 38th verse. "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.'" Well, we've labeled this signs of the Savior. Well, the sign seekers came. The scribes and the Pharisees came seeking a sign. This is not the only record of sign seeking. In John 2:18 it says, "The Jews therefore answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things?'" You know, friends, you and I are out here talking to some lost person. And they get argumentative, and they want to, "Well, what about this? What about that?" Well, you know what? If you and I, if the Holy Spirit of God cannot convict a man of the truth, you and I don't stand a chance. I will not argue the Bible with you or anybody else, because it's foolishness to gender strife according to the Scriptures. Well, excuse me. Even the disciples asked for a sign. And I read in Matthew 24:3, "And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?'" You know, friends, ever since I've been a Christian, I've been hearing these people who are setting the times of Jesus' return. Sure, the Scriptures lead up to make us believe, and it is coming. Jesus is coming back. Oh, yes, he is. But there's signs of the time, and we see these things. But, you know, that's been back there years and years ago during Paul and Peter's near date. But anyway, there's been those who, well, I think it was the Seventh-day Adventist said that Jesus would come back in 1918. He never returned. And I don't know how many different denominations has tried to set a time. All they have to do is read in the Scriptures what only God the Father knows when Jesus shall return. But I can tell you this. Every time we introduce a soul to Christ, that's going to bring the coming of the Lord quicker. When that last soul is saved, that God's going to save during his administration, then he will come back. But he is coming back. Oh, my stars, all you have to do now is read your newspaper or look in the TV and see what is happening in our corrupt, very corrupt government. You say, what do you mean corrupt? They are so corrupt. Oh, look at old Murtha. Look what he's done. Look at the rest of them. And you say, well, yeah, you know. Well, I tell you what, the only thing we've got, we can absolutely vote them out. That's our prerogative. But most, I know a lot of Christians that, oh, I don't, my vote won't count. Oh, yes, your vote will count. And boy, I hope you vote this time for president. Well, there are three unmistakable signs reveal the deity of Christ. First of all, the sign was his virgin birth. I read in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord will bring on you, on your people, and on your father's house, such days as have never come since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah and the king of Assyria. Friends, listen to tell you. I have had Christians actually tell me, well, Cecil, I just can't understand the virgin birth. Well, what is there to understand? God said it. The Holy Spirit gave her, conceived the baby, and that's how come the baby, she's a virgin birth. She was a good woman. But the Catholic friends of ours say that she was more than that. They ask Mary to get things because she can get it through Jesus. That's wrong. Have you ever in your lifetime seen these people say, oh, I saw tears coming out of Mary's eyes on the wall. I saw it, and people will travel for hundreds of miles to see this miracle. Friends, Mary was a sinner just like you and I. But she was a good woman, and she found favor with God. And she brought into the world that wonderful, wonderful son, Jesus. Well, the signs of his death and burial was found in Matthew 12:39. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it, but to the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. Well, some people say, I don't even believe that. Well, I'll tell you, you better believe the story of Jonah. You say, well, I don't understand that either. I really don't understand that. Well, I'll tell you how you understand it. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to preach repentance to those Ninevites. But the Jews hated the Ninevites, and so he said, I'm not going to go. So that old backslidden preacher got on a ship, started the other way. Wow. Well, he got away for a while. Let me tell you what, friends. If God tells you to do something, I would suggest that you listen. You know, the day that God called me to preach, I thought that was the silliest thing I'd ever heard in my life. Why in the world would God want a ding-dong like me to be a preacher? I wanted to be the best roofing contractor Seattle ever had, and I had a good business. But God had a different plan for my life. Now, I thought maybe God made a mistake. I really did. And, you know, I know a lot of people, men I've talked to, who have been called to preach and who have run and run and run. Well, that's not the way to do it. If he says, if he wants you to be a Sunday school teacher, I don't care how stupid you think you are, you better do it. If God calls you to be a deacon, you better be a deacon. Or whatever God calls you to do. And you say, well, you know, I'm just so insignificant. God won't call me. That's what you think. Don't you think Moses up there herding sheep out there in the wilderness, don't you think he felt like a moron? 40 years he was out there herding those nasty old sheep. He'd killed a man down in Egypt. He's running and hid for his life. But the time came when the God of compassion looked down and saw the tears of those people being beaten and abused. When they were making bricks and they were doing this and that, and God said, well, the time has come when I need to take them to the promised land. Well, Moses way up north and he was up there herding sheep. Now, all of a sudden, Moses looked over and he saw a bush burning. Now, that was dry out there in the desert. You'd think that flame would spread all over, but it didn't. It was contained in that one bush. And Moses went up there and the Lord said, take off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. Well, when he told him what he wanted him to do, Moses was baffled. What, me? I can't even talk. I'm slow at tongue. Boy, God didn't, he wouldn't buy that. I said, I'll give you a mouthpiece, but he never got to do it. Moses finally did what he was supposed to do, and he became a great man. And after he left there, after Pharaoh finally let him go, after lying and like some of our congressmen do to us, my stars in the morning, they took off up through the wilderness, and the people started complaining and started groaning and moaning, and they even cried, they didn't get enough meat, so God gave them so much meat, a lot of them died. But then Moses was really under pressure, and so his father-in-law come and said, Moses, look, you're not doing the right thing here. Now, why don't you appoint one leader from 12 tribes, and let them take care of the smaller matters, and when the weightier matters come, you take care of them. It worked out absolutely beautiful. Well, anyway, the Bible says the sign was Christ's virgin birth, and I read in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord will bring on you, on your people, and on your father's house, such days as have never come since the day of Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. The birth of Christ was unique. Now, he was conceived in the womb of a virgin. You won't ever see that happen again. That happened once. His birth was a miracle, but it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Friends, you know what? If you read the Old Testament, you'll see eon of prophecy. And you'll go to the New Testament and you'll find many, many, many of them have been fulfilled. Now, the only prophecy we have to think about right today is the coming of the Lord. He will come back soon. And it will be filled. When they said he would be born in a manger out there in a horse barn, that's exactly where he was born. So that was prophecy. But his birth was a miracle and a fulfillment of prophecy. Gabriel announced this miracle. Now, Mary felt fear and confusion about this angelic pronouncement. The mystery was solved. The Holy Spirit would bring about this miracle. You know, friends, I know a lot of people don't believe this, but you know, a Christian is capable of committing any sin that a heathen can commit, do. Any sin. The difference is God's Holy Spirit lives in our heart. Now, if we continue in sin, the Holy Spirit will keep tugging at our heart, keep showing us what we're doing wrong, and trying to get us to repent and come back to the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, friends, you can harden your heart till the Holy Spirit of God will never call upon you again. That's why I tell lost people, the Spirit of God will not always strive with man whereby man must be saved. You need to, if the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart tonight about your lost condition, my suggestion is you better listen. And I'll tell you something else, and I don't want to scare you, but this may be the last time in your life that the Holy Spirit of God will tug at your heart about your lost condition and bring you to Jesus. Well, the virgin birth guaranteed a sinless Savior. Now, the sign was Christ's death and burial, and I read in Matthew 12:39 again, "But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth." Now, you know yourself that it's hard to believe, and scientists said, why, it's impossible for a fish to swallow Jonah. Baloney. If you ever seen these great big humpback whales, they could swallow you all right. But when he was in that old, now this backslidden preacher was in that fish's belly, and it was stinking, and a fish and a dead fish and seaweed floating around his neck. And I imagine he had to stand on his tiptoes to keep from drowning, to get air. But after 3 days, that fish couldn't take that old backslidden preacher. So he spew him out on the beach, and boy, oh boy, Jonah took off like a herd of turtles. He said, I got to get up to Nineveh, and I got to deliver God's message. Well, he wasn't too happy about it. The sign was that of the prophet Jonah. Now, Jonah was called by God to preach to a sinful Nineveh. God calls evangelists, God calls pastors and teachers to tell people, warn people about the coming of the Lord, and to warn people of what God wants for your life. This book is full of everything, every answer you'll ever need in this lifetime if you look for it. He tells you how to live. He tells you how to die. He tells you where he's going to take you if you know him. He's going to give you a mansion of glory. I don't understand that mansion, and I've never lived in one, so I don't know what it looks like, but that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, Jonah fled to Tarshish and was caught in a violent storm. You don't outdo God, do you? You sure don't. He thought in his heart he was going to run from God and get away from it. It's the same way with sin. You can't hide your sin. No, you can't. I don't care. You can't hide from God. Now, Jonah told the sailors to cast him into the sea because he was willing to sacrifice himself to save others. Did you know Christ gave his life that we might have eternal life? We sure did. Now, Jonah swallowed by the great fish pictures Christ's death and burial. Now, the death of Christ for sinners fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. Read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We don't have time for it tonight, but you read that. The sign was Christ's bodily resurrection, and I read in John 2:18, Jesus therefore answered and said to him, What sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things? Well, listen, Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple at the Passover. Verse 13 and 6. All right, let's go back here. 13 and 6. Then he said to them, Man, stretch out your hand. And be stretched out, and it was restored to normal like the others. And he warned them not to make him known. Listen. He said, the sign seekers wanted to know how he had authority to do so. How many times did those Pharisees and Sadducees challenge God, challenge the Lord about, oh, I said you healed on the Sabbath. You wouldn't pick corn on that Sabbath, and on. But Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, the sign seekers were shocked. The temple had taken 46 years to build. how could Jesus raise it up in 3 days? Well, Jesus was talking about his bodily resurrection. Now, three signs reveal the Savior. First, his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Now, three signs being fulfilled guarantees you and I salvation. Come in faith to the virgin-born, crucified, and risen Savior. Friends, listen, I recall during my alcoholic days how I sought the answer to my problems. I did. I talked to 6 different preachers over a period of years. And you know what, really, now that I look back, not one of them told me of God's love. Not one told me that Jesus had the power to deliver me from alcoholism, or he had the power to save me and give me eternal life. You say, Cecil, look, I'm not an alcoholic, but I've got some problems. I've got some things, sin, that I've involved in. Well, my friend, the Bible said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have and I have. Now, Jesus went to the cross. Though he was sinless, no sin on him, but he took your sins and my sins, took our place on the cross of Calvary. You and I deserve hell. Yes, we do. But because of God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you tonight, my friend. I don't care what you've done. God is a God of a second chance. That's what we tell the men and women in prison every Sunday we're there. We tell them that God loves them. We know they did wrong. We've all done wrong. We've all sinned. And if they want a new life, they have to ask God to forgive their sins and to come in their heart and save them. Oh, friends, I'm telling you, over the 25 or 30 years I've been preaching in prison, I've seen so many of them come out of there and live their lives, live productive lives, and they go out and they help other people who... That's why I'm so burdened for alcoholics, because I was there, and I know what they're going through, and I know that God can deliver you from alcoholism. He can deliver you if you're a homosexual or a lesbian or a drug addict. He can deliver you from anything if you come to him as a child. Now, let me ask you tonight, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Do you know? You say, oh, Cecil, I really don't know. Well, if you don't know, I can tell you, you're not going. The Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass from death unto life. Now, here's a plan. If you feel it tugging at your heart tonight, and you're just frustrated, and you feel a need for Jesus, I would suggest that you bow your head with me right now. I don't want you to pray this prayer unless you mean it. But if you're sorry for your sins and you want to know Jesus, pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry, Lord, for my sin. And tonight I'm asking you to come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like to have you call me at 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air, and I sure won't embarrass you. And I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I pray that you'll go to church that glorifies the Lord. But anyway, here's my phone number, 303-471-8534. If I can help you spiritually, I'll be glad to. Now, if you can't afford this call, you call me collect, and I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. Thank you.
touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Folks, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you, friends, for listening, and I pray I said something that would encourage your heart. Oh, friends, I know we're living in troubled times, but Jesus is still in charge. God the Father knows exactly what's going on in the world today, but we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We have the best country in the whole world. The most beautiful flag in the world, and our men and women are dying every day to protect you and I. I gave 4 years of my life for World War II in the Navy, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got to. Oh, I didn't win the war. My ship didn't win the war, but we sure helped out. Well, friends, pray for my wife and I. Pray for our health. Pray for the prison ministries that will see hundreds and hundreds of men and women come to know Jesus. Well, I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.